What's going on, guys? Welcome back to The Entourage Effect. Before we jump into today's episode, this podcast is created and hosted by Monica Bizet. Hey. Executive produced by Justin Lee and myself. And today's episode is brought to you by Mystify, Tough Mama, and The Root of It All. Mystify is a High Times Cannabis and Emerald Cup award-winning premium cured resin vape pen that's solventless and free from any harmful chemicals, additives, or flavorings. One thing that I really love about Mystify pens is that they're nature identical, which means they preserve all the bioactive chemicals we love, like terpenes, flavonoids, and cannabinoids, which results in an experience as nature intended. The proof is in the pull. You can find them at legal California dispensaries. Tough Mama is an award-winning brand that creates infused hemp cone blunts and edible beverages called YOLO shots. Tough Mama blunts burn smooth, even, never run, and pull big clouds, which I can totally vouch for. The YOLO Shots is a 100 milligram THC beverage that comes in a 2-ounce bottle similar to 5-Hour Energy. You can drink it straight or mix it to make a cannabis cocktail, and each bottle contains 20 servings that are 5 milligrams each. YOLO Shots is that euphoric, uplifting high that makes you want to move, dance, and socialize, but then hugs you to bed when you're ready to sleep. YOLO Shots uses proprietary Beeline nano-emulsion technology, which results in a rapid onset of 5 to 15 minutes. This allows you to take back control of your high with the ability to dose every 15 minutes without worrying if you took too much. If you're someone that's had a bad experience with edibles, this is for you. YOLO Shots are the smoker's edible, drinker's edible, newbie's edible, and stoner's edible. You can purchase Tough Mama at legal California dispensaries. The Root of It All creates grab-and-go wellness tinctures and topicals. These all-natural remedies are blended with CBD and ancient Ayurvedic recipes like turmeric, black pepper, and cloves. If you know me, you know I love Ayurvedic tinctures, so this is right up my alley. The Root of It All focuses on condition-specific formulas such as restful sleep, focus, energy, relaxation, or muscle rub. These formulas are meant to help without getting you high or compromising your efficiency. For example, restful sleep without the grogginess or brain fog, or maybe pain relief without feeling sluggish or slow. The Root of It All tinctures and topicals are plant-based, allergy-friendly, vegan, and thoroughly tested both third-party and double-blind placebo. Happy Tuesday, guys. Today I'm here with Brooke Bergstaller, actress and founder of Budding Minds. Thanks for joining me, Brooke. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here with you. So I want to start off by asking, what was your first introduction to cannabis?
Well, I started as a consumer. I started smoking in high school, and then I eventually, you know, I had a deep love for cannabis right away, right after the first feeling, the first puff on my lips. And I tinkered around with it in high school. I have a really funny story that I share, which is, this is real. I wrote right down in my journal that, like, I want to be a stoner when I grow up. I want to buy my own weed. I want to buy a pipe. Which is just like weird aspirations that I had as a young woman, but I manifested that into my present life. And so I've been a long time appreciator and advocate of cannabis, but I eventually parlayed that into somewhat of a career now when I moved out to Los Angeles. And that first opportunity was with Mary Jane. That's what opened my doors and my eyes to the fact that I could talk about this plant as a profession.
And what were you doing with Mary Jane? And for those of our listeners who don't know what Mary Jane is, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, girl. Mary Jane is a cannabis media company, and it's owned partly by Snoop Dogg and some other humans out there in the world. Not as cool as Snoop Dogg, no offense. Wow, that was such a beautiful, you know, kismet of experiences to fall into my world. So I began making Mary Jane News. It was one of the first like short form cannabis news series that I was privy to. And so, yeah, me and my team, we would go out and film various news stories, news packages about, you know, different jobs you could have in cannabis, or we would attend different cannabis conferences and, interviewed different experts in the field. And ultimately, that all led to the creation of a 4-part docuseries that I was able to make with Mary Jane called Prisoners of Prohibition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was about people serving lifetime sentences for cannabis. And I think we made that in 2017, 2018. It's kind of wild to see that that's still such a core issue of our industry.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, even at the time of creating it, there wasn't a lot of information. People were so excited about like getting their hands on weed. Sure. I don't think that many people in the business were looking back at like the people left behind at that moment in this plant's history or industry. So yeah, that was a really eye-opening experience and project. And yeah, if anyone's curious to check it out, it's on YouTube. It's
yes.
on Mary Jane's YouTube. Definitely give it a whirl. You know, there's been a lot of other information and organizations to come out since then that are supporting the same efforts. So there might be some better content out there now. I was really proud at the time.
That's the beauty of the cannabis industry. I mean, we're always ever evolving, but we had to start somewhere, and that sounds like a really incredible and important project because we cannot give enough attention to that topic in particular. Everyone, like you said so well, everyone left behind. We're not thinking about, you know, everyone was so excited to open up dispensaries and get their hands on legal weed, not thinking about everyone who was affected by that evolution.
Yeah.
But all of that seems super on par with your studies with broadcast journalism. What was your initial goal when you started pursuing that?
I love that you asked about that. I do not consider myself a broadcast journalist. I went to school in Miami. Honestly, like, full stop. Am I using that right? I'm not cool. Like,
I'm not either.
Oh, okay. Full stop. I feel like that might work. Listen, I saw it on
TikTok.
Sounds
like it works.
I saw a young person say it. I'm trying it out.
We're trying here.
Full stop. I didn't want to go to college. Kids, you hear that? You don't have to go to college. It's a waste of money. Not necessarily a waste of time, but I wanted to go immediately from high school out to Los Angeles to pursue my great dream of being an actress. And my parents were in charge of my life at that moment in time, and so they gratefully forced me into a 4-year education at the University of Miami, and I studied broadcast journalism, and it was all great and dandy, and it was a beautiful time. And I really had the intention of coming out to LA to torch my degrees, sorry mom and dad, and say, none of that applies, I'm never going to use that again. And little did I know that that's very much, you know, writing and disseminating information is like very much in my blood. Like I love it so much. And so for these different passions in my life and skills of my life to intersect, be it journalism and cannabis and performing into what I'm doing now is a bit of a miracle.
I mean, it definitely seems like it all worked out.
We're still working on it.
Well, I feel like it definitely served. And let's talk about acting a little bit since you mentioned that.
Sure. Let's talk about it. Do you think Will Smith was wrong to... I'm kidding.
I mean...
Everyone stopped talking about that soap. It was like 5 days of nonstop Oscars talk, and now no one cares.
And then on to the next scandal.
But yeah, so I'm an actress. I'm a performer. I'm a comedian. I very much love the craft and living out human emotion and creating. I love the creative process in this way. So yeah, I am still in pursuit of that great dream, but when I first started in the cannabis space, I've long been an actress, but when I first began professionally in the cannabis field, particularly with Mary Jane, I remember being so proud of that personally, but being very afraid to share that information publicly, that I had anything to do with cannabis. I was like talking about this plant in very professional settings. I'm like interviewing Al Sharpton, and I'm like, oh my God, but someone's going to get the wrong idea about
me.
So yeah, it kept me acting kept me in the cannabis closet for quite a long time. And now if you Google me, there's like nothing I can do to stop this train. So. But I definitely had a moment in my life where I was like, oh my God, if Disney knows that I smoke weed, they're not going to book me in their new movie. And it's like, Disney never booked me, and I've got wrinkles now. Like, Disney don't want me. So I think it might have been wasted worry, but so it goes. Everything happens for a reason.
I feel like it's one of those things, like, once you pop the seal on, like, you know, coming out of that cannabis closet, like, you just can't put it back, you know? Yeah. At that point, you're steam all rolling. Over, yep, all over the internet, you're just labeled as, you know, one of those stoners. But yeah, I was going to ask how that affected getting into acting, if there are any hurdles incorporating the cannabis industry, your cannabis consumption along with your acting career.
Well, again, yeah, I just was a little bit meek about being forward about my relationship with this plant. And then a very wise person told me, and I'm pretty sure it was actually just like a video I watched on the internet, that, you know, if this job, this opportunity, this partnership, this alliance, this role requires you to mask a part of yourself, which is your love for plant medicines, then that probably is not the right path for you. That's probably not the right role or job or whatever. So really having faith and trust in that being my truth.
That's very wise. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I feel like everything in your life does need to be kind of aligned and in tune. And if you're trying to suppress anything or hide one part from the other, it doesn't usually mesh too well.
Yeah, or you can. I mean, I'm sure, I think a lot of people do it very well, but underneath it all, it's just not living out your most joyous self.
That's a good point. Definitely a balancing act there. In terms of cannabis in the media, I want to hear your thoughts on that. I mean, there have been now at this point some Hulu shows, some Netflix shows, some cooking shows, a little bit of everything kind of thrown in there. However, in terms of how it's portrayed, in terms of reaction from the public, do you think that we're ready for that type of content? Do you think it could be done differently? Kind of what are your views on it?
Well, speaking as someone who is very entrenched in cannabis media, I mean, dear God, I hope that there's going to be some beautiful Discovery Channel cannabis show. Okay, not Discovery Channel. They already actually have done something, but
they could do another.
CNN. I don't really know what network is speaking to me at this moment, but I hope that, you know, the entertaining, educational, cannabis-forward content will be made available on major media platforms. And as you've mentioned, like, we see little nuggets of it here and there. Netflix had a horrible show with Kathy Bates, you know. People put out cannabis-related programming. Oftentimes, when it's fictional, I find that it leads into, like, very stereotypical, just, yes, like, surface scraping. It's annoying. But I certainly think that the public, if two-thirds of Americans approve of adult-use cannabis, then, like, federal legalization, what are we doing? But because of advertisers not wanting to put their money onto a show that promotes a federally illegal product,
right,
a lot of that content is not out there right now. And another thing about cannabis media, like, some things that I notice is when you're in this space, you think that everyone is as excited to talk about cannabinoids and terpenes as you, when the average person does not know what those words mean or that they are words.
Right.
So I think, like, within this space, we can get a little bit over our skis with the content that we're producing and putting out in the world, and we're largely making it as, like, B2B. And I'm really excited about the next wave that is content that includes cannabis, or content that is designed for the open-minded person that has a relationship with this plant but isn't all about it. Because cannabis is a part of people's lives, but it's not the main character for most consumers. So, yeah, I'm hopeful for when mainstream media kind of reflects that. It just makes it more normal. It doesn't have to be like someone popping out of a cake and like smoking a joint. Like it can just be there in the show. It can just be there.
I really, really like how you said that. And I think it clarified some things in my mind because I've had a lot of mixed emotions about cannabis media. I mean, of course, on one hand, I'm thrilled it's there. It's starting to normalize it. I think that's really good for the stigma. But on the other hand, when they're misrepresenting certain things or education or just not including education when they have a golden opportunity to, you know, that kind of frustrates me too.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, you had some really great points and we do need it out there and it's the first step and then we can all take those second steps. In terms of cannabis content creation, though, I know it's been a little bit of a difficult juggling act with that too in terms of censorship and things like that. So I'm curious what your experience has been in terms of, you know, getting censored and cannabis media content creation. If you have any advice for people trying to get content out there.
Can I swear?
Yeah.
It's some bullshit. God diggity damn. I create a lot of cannabis content. And, you know, every platform, social media and YouTube, all these things that enable us as free men to just post whatever we want willy-nilly, without that, there would be no cannabis content. So I recognize that, like, thank you, Instagram, for letting me post my feeble little reels about weed. Thank you for not being like TikTok. But, you know, that's really largely where our media is relegated to. And there's not a lot of opportunity for, or not like so much opportunity for sponsorship and things of that nature. But I have had a wonky relationship with particularly TikTok. It's always very interesting. Like when you get slapped for posting something about cannabis, I could not get a video on TikTok to save my life. And I know that people put weed videos on that platform. They get it. They figure it out. They spell weed in cute and clever ways. I don't know the language. Again, I tried to say full stop. I'm still not sure if I used it right. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But but TikTok is evil and will not let me talk about cannabis. And after a certain point, again, there are ways to work with it and work around it. But I became so like disheartened that I was like, just screw it. Then that's not going to be where I find my reach. And when it comes to Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, you can get your content out there, and that's amazing, but you cannot participate in any advertising. Mm-hmm. I have certainly tried to sponsor my posts, and they're like, but you're smoking. And I'm like, but what if it's a cigarette? Like, I don't get it. That shit is pretty wild, and I've been very fortunate to not have any of my pages taken down, but I have known plenty of brands and influencers and people in this space who are sharing the same information. I remember a friend of mine or a cannabis news channel on Instagram got shut down, and the last thing that they had posted was about like the military allowing for people to have previously consumed cannabis in like they could still join the military if they had a weed, I don't know, misdemeanor or something on their record. And this person was sharing the news from a major news publication.
Oh gosh, right.
And like, let's say CNN, MSNBC, whatever, Fox, they didn't get their story taken down, but they're talking about the same story as this person over here. And so I think we see a lot of that in the cannabis space too, is that if you have a lot of money, if you have clout, if you know someone who works at these platforms, you can really get around the red tape. And there's a lot of people that are just trying to break in that experience a lot of difficulties, and that freaking blows. But, you know, if you want to get involved in cannabis media, like, hell yes. But find your angle. Find out what's different. Like, it's an oversaturated market in a lot of ways. Understand your relationship with the plant. And I think having that authenticity, like, oozed through all that you create will help to perpetuate a more positive representation of this plant and her consumers. Stop scraping the surface. Like, dive a little deeper. What does this plant really mean to you? And what do you really want to say about her? And what do you really want people to know about her? And how can you really respect her and not just try to take from her? How can you be the giving tree? She's been the giving tree to us for far too long.
That was so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love that so much.
Makes me want to read The Giving Tree right now.
Just we'll start reading it on the podcast. I'm
start crying.
I love it. There's a word that I've heard you use that I really like as well in terms of content creation in cannabis, and that's edutaining.
Oh.
And that's something that kind of hits close to home because I've always been really passionate about the education side of the cannabis industry. But one thing that I ran into very early on was that a lot of people really don't care about the deeper intricacies, you know, the delving deeper into terpenes and cannabinoids. And you have to find that angle to keep people's attention, especially in this time of incredibly short attention spans. So I would love to hear kind of your take on some ways that you can put entertaining spins on cannabis education to kind of captivate your audience, hold their attention a little bit longer than you would otherwise.
Well, okay, yes, for those listening who didn't get that, edutainment. It's educational entertainment. I'm sure you figured it out. I did not come up with that term, and I have no idea who did in my life, but I really took it and ran with it, so thank you to that person. Again, it's like these fusions of my personal passions, and I think it is particularly relevant to cannabis content because there is so much dense scientific jargon that you want the every person to understand, and how do you get them to care? I think you get them to care through backdoor entryways of dropping knowledge, through lightheartedness, through comedic undertones, through, you know, this is like a bit off topic, but it's kind of relevant. I have friends right now. There were two plays, like theater plays, mm-hmm. that I was invited to. And one of them was about the Syrian genocide, and one of them was about a woman who committed suicide. And that's theater, man. And I was like, that's amazing. And I'm so happy that there's people out there telling those stories and that there's audiences that want to see those stories. But that's not my point of view. That's not what I put into the world. So some artists, some creators, some educators need to educate the history, the density, the depth, the sadness. Like, we need those storytellers too. But there's another way that I just much prefer, which is playing the positive and finding the joy in things. And, you know, I think that like joyfulness hopefully is conveyed to others and makes things more intriguing. But, you know, it's quite an effort for anyone to make someone care about something they don't inherently care about. But, yeah, I don't know if I have like solid advice for anyone, but if your efforts and your intentions are genuine, then it will reach the right people. And a friend of mine told me, if you look at like long ago when people had, they were artists and a comedian or someone was putting a play into the world or a piece of work, if you had 70 people watch that piece of work, you would be like, oh my God, that was a pretty good turnout.
Right.
If you get 70 likes on Instagram, you're like, I'm dead in the water. 70 people.
That's true.
Like, every human being that you touch actually does matter in some capacity. So also take that to heart and like make what you're creating matter.
That's a good point.
Not that everything I make is like really genius, but some of it's really stupid.
But some people need that too, you know, that content after a stressful day that makes them smile and, you know.
Yeah, medicine and education comes in a lot of different formats, so.
This is very, very true. And speaking of that and general wellness, I know that you're also a certified yoga instructor. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. What led you to pursue that certification?
Oh, wow. Well, I took my first yoga class in I think it was Nashville, Tennessee, because I was bored out of my mind. My parents had moved there, and I had no friends. And I was like, I'm going to try this thing called yoga. And I really opened up. I cried after my first yoga class. I cried so deeply. And it was so beautiful. I don't know. Do you practice yoga?
A little bit.
Okay. Have you ever had a yoga cry?
I have.
Okay. So you get
I do.
Yeah. It's like...
beautiful.
You've unlocked something, and... you can't even really put words to it. It's just like something has broken free of you. It's been let loose and it's getting out. And that the profundity of that experience really led me down the path of incorporating this more into my life. And then eventually when I came up to California, this is the land of the woo-woo. I mean, throw a penny and you'll meet a yoga instructor. So throw a penny at someone's head, whatever. You'll hit a yoga instructor. But yeah, I really, really love yoga. Yoga has done incredible things for my body, incredible things for my mind, my soul, my spirit, my adrenal system, my nervous system. Thank you, yoga. Thank you to my teachers. And I have always naturally incorporated cannabis into my yoga practice, and those things have always gone tandem, for me at least. So I haven't taught. I was a full-time yoga instructor for many years, and those were some of the most relaxed years of my life, just not the most financially fruitful. And so eventually, you know, I transitioned into other things. But long story short, all of this comes together. This Sunday, I'll be teaching a lit yoga class, which is a cannabis-infused yoga studio and series. And so if anyone's interested, I don't know when this will air, but that is at Light on Lotus in Marina Del Rey on Sunday. And so people can come and consume freely. And it'll be a yummy, restorative class, lots of props, staying on the floor, listening to ooey-gooey music. And, giving people the gift of finding their calm is like pretty awesome.
That's an amazing gift to be able to have and to give to people. And I might need to come to this class. That sounds really exciting. And you were mentioning how you kind of incorporate wellness and yoga into cannabis as well and kind of bring all of that full circle in your life. I want to talk about how you do incorporate that wellness and bring it all together, but also how your cannabis habits and rituals have changed from when you first started smoking to now.
I'll start with that. That's a really good question because it's been a long time that I've been smoking pot, and I've gone through many different phases in my relationship with weed, as I'm sure most consumers have, longtime consumers. I have gone the wake and bake route, the I get high for everything route. Trader Joe's, to the park, going to the doctor, going to auditions, doing stand-up, like you name it, I'm high. It hasn't always served me in every situation. That's how you learn. So yeah, I've had to really learn when I can be coherent. Mm-hmm. And also like what is healthiest, because...
yes.
You know, looking at cannabis as medicine, which I truly, truly, deeply believe, that's the plant. But putting it in paper and smoking it, and then the paper goes into your lungs, or smoking from a bong, and then you have the resin, or smoking habitually and putting smoke into your lungs every day. You know, there's a lot of different side effects of smoking of any kind. So I'm really working towards every day being more mindful. I still do consume every day. I like to roll my own hemp paper joints, sometimes spliffs, more often than not spliffs.
Okay.
And I know that's so taboo in the cannabis space. I almost get like nervous to admit it, but that's me, baby.
I get it. I mean, you got to be your authentic self, but I do feel that I'm originally French. So the European side of me, you know, my friends, they'll send me snaps like, once in a blue moon when they're smoking pure, but most of the time, you know, they're spliffing it. So.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, it's the European way. I'm just trying to be cosmopolitan.
You're just very European. I like it.
But yeah, I think there is, and also my mentality around that relationship has evolved and matured. I would say that is also my aspiration, to continue that maturation of, you know, we have to understand ourselves, that when we are grasping for something outside of ourselves to soothe a current state, emotion, a feeling, it's always worthy of looking at. And so there might not be anything wrong with it, right? Like there might not be anything wrong with your relationship with cannabis, but just having that awareness of like, when am I using this? When am I drawn to consuming? Is it masking something? Is it a crutch in any way? And I actually don't think that's the case for me, but it's definitely like worthy of contemplation for people. And I really do hope to continue to promote and advocate for conscious consumption. And I think that when you apply that to cannabis, that starts to bleed out into other aspects of your life, and you start to become aware of the brands you support and how your food was grown, and you give thanks to the people that participated in the process of getting these things to you. And the more that trickles out into our everyday life, obviously the better.
I really applaud your awareness, not just with cannabis, but all things. And I think that's something that I would personally like to see more of in the industry. I think it is an incredible plant. It is amazing medicine. But at the same time, I think we do tend to sometimes blur those lines and let it become a crutch, or not be aware of just the way we're consuming and the impact on our body. Yes, it's healing, but there can be side effects, a lot of them, like you said. And, you know, even just the combustion of paper, that is something, you know, all of these things. And to take a look at how you're consuming, why you're consuming. I mean, that's something I learned early on, is to stop and think, why are you smoking right now? Why are you consuming? If you can't think of a reason, you know, maybe do something else. At least let it be with a purpose. Have that awareness and the presence, you know. Mm-hmm. Be mindful when you're consuming this plant and give thanks.
Give thanks, yeah. I mean, I try as much as I can remember, and it's not every meal I remember to give thanks for my food, and it's not every spliff that I remember.
Sure.
But when you do remember, I don't think that goes unnoticed by the greater universe. And a really beautiful practice that I have had, which I learned through experiences with other plant medicines, is when cannabis is in my system and I feel, you know, like your heart rate starts to raise just a little bit right at first, and your mind, mental chatter might start to occur, maybe paranoia sets in, I put my hands on my heart and I welcome cannabis into my system. And I let her know, like, you know, I literally just smoked you, so like, I was in charge of that. I brought you into me, and yes, I welcome you here, and you are welcome here. And I want, like, I ask her to guide me in certain ways, or please help me find calmness, please help me find ease, please help me find creativity, whatever it is. But in those moments of like, ooh, I think it's nice to just commune with her, talk to her. She's a her.
I agree. You got to communicate with Mother Nature, and she'll communicate back.
Yeah.
And she listens well. So I did want to talk about one project of yours that I was particularly interested in, where you talk about a lot of things like this too, and that is Budding Minds. Mm-hmm. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and how it started?
Budding Mind was born out of my desire to see more people like me in the cannabis content space. Growing up, like most of the people that I saw that smoked weed, like we talked about in media, are like just like grungy men. No shame, but like, take a shower. And so Budding Mind is a representation to me of the softer side of cannabis and the ways that we can bring cannabis back into the medicine cabinet and incorporate her in a more holistic way. And, you know, as I mentioned, a conscious relationship with cannabis might be your entry point to a conscious way of living in other aspects of your life. So I'm an advocate for elevating and enhancing your existence with whatever tools or practices or rituals serve you and the planet. And Budding Mind it's primarily a cannabis and wellness platform that exists in the digital sphere. You can check out buddingmind.com. I'm on Instagram, and now we have a podcast.
Yeah. And I've actually listened to a couple episodes, and they are great. I mean, you're definitely
she does her homework.
I had to. And I can't
Let me talk about drugs.
I can't tell you how much I love that name, too. Budding Minds. Oh, my goodness. When I heard it, I was like, wow, that's brilliant.
Thank you.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. I really appreciate that.
Yes, of course. It's a really great platform, guys. Definitely check it out. It's a lot about wellness, but you also do touch on cannabis politics as well, mm-hmm. which I think is so important, especially nowadays with, I mean, there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah. There's just a lot going on in the world. It's funny to be like, but what's happening with weed?
That's true. That's very true. In the world, in cannabis. And, I mean, we're in a very... I mean, I think we've been able to say this for a few generations now, but we're in a very unique time to be in cannabis. I mean, we're writing history right now. And we've had a lot written before us that we are currently trying to navigate, and I think it's a really incredible time, and I love that there are platforms like yours that actually touch on it and do the research on it.
Yeah, there's a lot to know, and everything changes every day, and we just have to do our best to ride the waves of change.
We do. And one question that I like to ask all of my guests is, what was your favorite failure in your career, maybe your life, that has impacted you so far, and the lessons, maybe opportunity or silver lining that you found from it?
A failure within this space. You know, I would...
Or any space.
Oh, hold on. We need more time. There's a lot of them. You know, just because it feels really relevant to, we were just discussing it earlier, I would say one of the biggest mistakes that I made personally was being fearful to be myself at any point, and particularly in how that relates to cannabis, talking about not wanting people to know that I smoked weed.
Right.
Because I wanted to protect this, like, idea of a public image that, like, wasn't relevant. It just doesn't matter.
Stigma's still alive, though, and it's daunting for sure.
Yeah, but that was, like, looking back, I think I regret that. I think I regret having shame around something I was actually quite proud of. And it wasn't necessarily personal shame. I was really listening to the stigmatization of that was, like, embodied by the people around me, by my parents, by some people in my community, largely by people older than me, telling me to keep these things quiet. Mm-hmm. Do not freaking talk about weed, Brooke. And now I'm like, I'm not just going to talk about weed. I'm going to talk about fucking mushrooms. I'm going to talk about LSD. We're going to talk about Molly. We're going to talk about ayahuasca. Let's talk about it all. And hopefully, if people might see that someone
like me that looks like a little piglet, like a tiny little child.
I feel it.
Yeah, maybe they'll be softened to just the idea of listening to another way or to another how another person lives.
I appreciate that a lot, personally, but just for the stigma, for everything, because you're so right. I mean, there's a lot of different stoner stereotypes, whether it's, you know, the super hard rappers who are smoking super heavy and just, you know, chiefing it, or, you know, the kind of like hippie stoners, you know, wearing tie-dye and all of that. And a lot of us don't fit that mold. I mean, I was personally in high school that friend that stood 10 feet away from all my other friends smoking weed just because I was afraid of that secondhand smoke.
And oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with them smoking. Just don't offer it to me. Like, don't peer pressure me. But when I...
Wow, the tables have turned.
Very full circle. Now none of them smoke weed. And I'm like, look at what you guys created.
That's so cute.
It's interesting. But I discovered it through my retiring from dance, from injury and all of that. But I really didn't fit the mold. Going to dispensaries was intimidating. It was weird to me. I mean, I love the culture, but I didn't feel like I was part of it because mm-hmm. there was really no one that looked like me. And there's a lot of people like that. You go into a dispensary now and you see doctors, teachers, lawyers, but I think it's important that they can see someone that they align with so that yeah. they can feel better within themselves despite the stigma, because it does weigh on people pretty heavy.
And the fact of the matter is, like, you know, what kinds of people drink booze?
Right.
All kinds. So what kind of people smoke weed?
All kinds.
All kinds.
Exactly. And
it's everyone.
I really appreciate anyone and anything that really does bring more awareness to that and helps kill the stigma that's been in place for so many years. So thank you, Brooke, for all of that so much, from your edutaining to talking about the important topics that some people are too scared to talk about or not interested. So truly, thank you.
Thank
I appreciate you in this space and everything you do.
Thank you so much. I want to call up your friends from high school right now.
Give you the number right now.
Show you smoking.
I need to get them on the podcast. Oh my gosh. That'd be funny. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Is there anybody that you would like to shout out before we sign off?
Oh my gosh. A shout out?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, let me shout out. Everyone's like, oh my God, what brand would she shout out? I'm going to shout out my dog, Sunny.
Yes.
If you're listening to this right now, I love you. I'm going to come home to you soon. I miss you.
Best shout out we've had so far. Oh my gosh, yes. Shout out to Sunny. Well, thank you so much, Brooke. This has been a really great time. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, everyone who tuned in today, and we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.